Torrence Islands National Park of Canada is small in land area, but widely spread out. It includes over 20 islands scattered along the St. Lawrence River between Brockville and Kingston, Ontario. Located in the heart of the Thousand Islands tourist area, the park receives over 80,000 visitors per year. Because its holdings are spread over this large and busy area, Parks Canada must work with adjacent landowners, municipalities, and other stakeholders to maintain the park's ecological integrity along with the integrity of the larger region. Fortunately, the park has excellent neighbors in the Thousand Islands. The Frontenac Arch Biosphere Reserve, which is mandated to demonstrate innovative approaches to living and working in harmony with nature, is also found in the area. The park, the biosphere, and 70 other local, provincial, and federal agencies partner together to help maintain and protect the species found in the park. Now, I could have mentioned any number of other places or partnerships of this nature, including the much closer Niagara Escarpment Biosphere Reserve, but I chose this one because my mother-in-law lives in Gananoque. In fact, she used to have property bordering right on the river. Therefore, I have a personal interest in the area just as much as I have a personal interest in our region. Both areas, along with 16 other biosphere reserves all across Canada, serve to connect the people who live here with nature and also work to provide sustainable tourism, education for supportable development, ecosystem services, and land management. This kind of organizational structure and partnership with other natural resource preservation groups provides concerted efforts to protect many parts of our country. Canada is a country that has been gifted with some very beautiful treasures of nature, and we should be working on protecting them. We live in a wonderful country. It is a land of diversity in terms of geography and history, and most importantly, people. A land where we should all be working together to protect the good things we have been given. It is a land not unlike the promised land that God gave to the ancient Israelites all those thousands of years ago. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stories are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You know, I can almost see Moses standing there on a high hill, looking across the river valley and the lush green land. He is, of course, old and reaching the end of his life, but you can see the slight smile on his lips. But a closer look shows his eyes betraying a hint of anxiety. He has spent most of his life in the wilderness, a dry and waterless land. And now, as he gazes across the Jordan River into the land promised by God to his ancestors, it is a good land. There are flowing streams and fertile fields. There will be no excuses for hunger in that land. Everyone will have enough. In his mind's eye, he can see vineyards and olive groves and children playing without fear and fine homes. The people he had led would lack nothing in that land across the river. What a wonderful vision of a day soon to come. And yet, Despite the bounty he saw before him, Moses could not help but worry. Yes, the people would have enough and more, but oddly enough, that was not what was troubling him. Moses worried that because God's people would lack nothing, they might become forgetful. Moses was worried that they would forget about God and take credit for what he had done. And that, he said, would lead to disaster. Moses was fearful that if people forgot the Lord their God, then their heart, mind, and soul would become overgrown with arrogance and ingratitude. When memory fails, ingratitude flourishes. And ingratitude is an invasive weed that can choke out the life of individuals, congregations, and even nations. The Apostle Paul wrote that the eternal power and divine nature of God has been obviously present to everyone who has ever lived through the beauty and the bounty of the universe God created. And even though this is plainly evident to all of humankind, we have not always remembered to honor God or give thanks in an appropriate manner. And that is truly a problem, because it has been said that all other sins flow from an ungrateful heart. It seems to me that there are two reasons for ingratitude. Some are ungrateful because they feel they were not given as much attention or reward as they should have been given. That leads to resentment, and resentment leads to cruelty and anger and violence. Or maybe ingratitude stems from the feeling that we are self-made, that we did it on our own without the help of God or anyone else. In which case, why would we have reason to feel grateful? These worries that Moses had did indeed turn out to be Israel's problem. They came to believe it, they did it on their own. But it was a lie. And if we believe that we accomplished our achievements entirely on our own, we too believe a lie of the most dangerous sort. We have a word for believing such a lie. It's called idolatry, putting ourselves in the place of God. Edward Bouverie Pusey, a 19th century churchman, said, "I fear that what will surprise us most when we see our Lord will be the extent of our own ingratitude." So what was Moses to do? His time of leadership was drawing to an end, and so Moses gathered the people together and told them the truth of what lay ahead. "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land where you will lack nothing. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." Did you catch it? Let me repeat it. Moses told the people to bless the Lord their God for all that God has done for them. He was sowing seeds of gratitude by teaching them how to give thanks and bless the Lord for the bounty they would experience in the future. We too here in Canada have brooks of water, natural fountains and springs. We have hills and valleys and fertile land which allow us to grow all that we need, especially here in Niagara. We also have minerals and base metals like gold and silver and nickel and copper and iron from which we can benefit. And like the scripture from Deuteronomy says, we need to always express our gratitude for the good land that has been provided to us. So how do we sow the seeds of gratitude for the good land God has given us? I think one of the ways is to go back to our example of the St. Lawrence National Park and the bioreserve around it. As you recall, it is a cooperative effort by many people to protect this treasure we have been given. And the St. Lawrence is just one example of that cooperation. But we need to know that we must work together at the community level to protect what we have been given. We have all heard the phrase reduce, reuse, and recycle. It doesn't work if only one small group is following the suggestions. We must work together. But working together to show our gratitude for this good land is only part of it. How many times have you heard it said that we Canadians have a tendency to put ourselves or any one of us who achieves great things down? With relatively few exceptions, we do not sing the praises of this great land in any way, shape, or form. And I think in some ways that does a huge disservice to the Lord our God, who has given us this land just as surely as he gave the promised land to the ancient Israelites. Yesterday, as we've already talked about, we celebrated 150 years of nationhood, and I am sure the gratitude was abounding in many places. Let's take the day of gratitude and make it an everyday habit, because in the end, this country is worth it, and God deserves it. Amen. And thanks be to God for gifting us this great country of Canada.